Right. Hello. Happy New Year. Tyler Bryden here. I'm recording this a bit earlier. Usually I would do a live stream at 4:30 p.m. EST. But today I got caught in some meetings, still getting adjusted for the year. And so I will correct that and look forward to doing more of that. But wanted to make this content in advance. And what I'm actually looking at today, which is a topic that I think is very sort of timely and important as we actually all move into 2021, and it's how to prioritize what content to create. And this is something that I'm working through right now, and I know many organizations, individuals are also working through as they prioritize, you know, where to put their resources, their budgets, their people, what channels should they be using, who are they communicating with, who's their ideal customer. You know, all these things have a significant impact on the success of the organization, of the content, and then how you prioritize and actually execute that. And so today, to sort of prepare for this, as I was working through this myself, I put together a post. I will now switch over so you can actually see. And it's, hey, guess what? It's called the same thing, how to prioritize what content to create. And you can see freshly minted on tylerbryden.com today. And so I'm just going to scroll through a couple things, a couple of main points on this, and then I'll link this in the video after, and this will be in podcast form. And you know, some of the ideas in here you will see sort of come out with the, I guess, how I actually even share this. So some very interesting things just off the top about, you know, everybody wanting to create content, and it's this, you know, very important process for any organization. One of the quotes that I saw in 2020 that sort of hurt, but was very, you know, very powerful as well too, was like this idea that like software depreciates and content appreciates. I thought that was fascinating. First of all, because investing a lot in software right now, but it's software you need to maintain and work on. And as other organizations and other companies sort of invest in technology, then you are now forced to compete and stay, you know, up to date with that. So you're always investing in it. Whereas content, if you can make high quality content from an initial stage, becomes this very valuable asset that you can use over and over again, repurpose into other forms of content. And really it's yours and you own it. And depending on, you know, where you're placing that content, it can be a huge driver for the success of your organization. Now, when you're asking yourself, I'm actually going to skip down here, I'm going to go back up, but this is something that, you know, stuck out to me as I was actually looking and getting prepared for this week, was I have every day booked out at 4:30 p.m. EST. I have sort of an hour booked out where I record a video. I do a little bit of creation before that to prepare. And then after I share that out. So that's the whole sort of block every day. And I've labeled, you know, I block some stuff out so you can't see it in the calendar, but I've purposely done this and really am trying to protect this time every day. And that means that I am able to create five pieces of what I hope are high quality content per week, one piece of content a day. And that might seem like a lot, but you have an onus on you to actually prioritize that. And as you're going along and you're realizing, you know, 5 times 4, so you've got 20 pieces of content that you're making a month, you know, how can you do this in a way that grows your organization, grows, you know, you as an individual in the short term. So depending on if you're, you know, building cash flow, if you're building profitability, but then also sets you up for long-term success as well too. And I'll skip back up to the top and I'll walk through some of these things now. And hopefully this will help you. I'm guessing some of you have already done this, but I'm hoping this may help you shape some of your content strategy and then how you're actually prioritizing. So the first part is like, what are the actual goals that you're actually building this content around? And this is something that I found very interesting since I started the first agency in 2015, where I saw a lot of people creating content, but they weren't necessarily doing it in a way that was tailored and built for, first of all, their ideal customers, but then also for the actual goals and organization and business outcomes that they were actually looking for. So the idea here is that there's a goal that you, you know, some primary goals, and there's a layer here, primary and secondary goals, but something you can measure. And that should have, at least down the line, and you know, what would be nice is right away, actually contribute to the revenue of your organization. And ideally, what happens is that you're actually able to measure this with a system like Google Analytics. So if you know that a goal is a contact form submission, and that contact form submission leads to a phone call, that phone call leads to an appointment, which gives you $500 in revenue. Now you know that you're trying to create content that will help people, give them the inspiration, the desire, the ambition to actually submit that contact form and then drive to an appointment. So already there, by wrapping that content around the goal, you've already created a much more focused approach to what you're actually doing, and that should help you prioritize. There's going to be things, content ideas that are maybe, valuable, but might not be contributing to that goal, that is that primary goal that is actually going to help your organization grow. The part that then aligns with this is great. You've got your primary goal and what you're actually trying to get them to do, but then who is the actual audience that then you are targeting this message to, and then where are they? What channels are they on? And there's a lot of work that needs to be done in this. For some organizations, this can be very very simple. The example that I don't even know how to use, but it's just like, if you're making content for a funeral home, it's a very specific audience that and you know exactly what they want to need. And if you have a more generic or general business or industry, sort of non-industry specific service, then you might have a different challenge here with the content. But as you start to build out the content strategy, it becomes very important to actually figure out who that ideal customer is. And for us, we're more on that other side, which is we have organizations coming from different industries. So what are we actually trying to do? If you're lucky and you're already in business and you're growing, you maybe actually have some example customers. So I put a couple here from Speak AI, and what we're trying to do is now identify patterns between them. And then by understanding those patterns, we can start to create content that then is tailored to, the pain points and the needs of these organizations and the current customers that we have, with the idea that we can share this with our current customers, but then also to identify prospective customers and leads, and then build out that pipeline so that we can continue to grow. So shared a couple of them in here. And then what we also did was this other part, which is like, not only do we have some sample customers that we know we can now pick these sort of attributes out, there's some other things that we are starting to identify here. So customer location, what industries are the customers in? What is the size of the company? And then what skills do the customers actually have? So, for us, one of the really interesting use cases that we've continued to see is qualitative research. People wanting to analyze long form audio and video, whether for products or for customer feedback or whatever that is. But by understanding that and knowing that, it really starts to tailor both our content strategy and then what we're actually prioritizing. And then I would say there's even the ability to go a level deeper here, which is, out of all these industries, out of all these skill sets, out of all these job titles, is there a way for us to even identify higher priority, higher value buckets or individuals that we can actually pick out of this that then we would even want to go deeper and tailor our content around? So just a couple things to think about there. If you can start to pull these patterns out, or pull these highly valuable roles or locations or industries, all of a sudden your content strategy starts to become a lot more refined. I said this, I showed this part here, but like, if you have many ideas, it's very exciting. But again, 5 days is and 5 pieces of content is not that much, and we all want to be, resource efficient, cost efficient, time efficient with what we're doing here. So you need to have sort of some systems set up in place or some ways to prioritize. Otherwise, you can get lost in creating content that might actually not be contributing to the success of your organization. And just as that note there, I did sort of say this briefly, but depending on where you are, your status as an organization, that can really change that content. So, are you trying to get a quick, a lead right now, a sale right now? Then maybe the content you're creating is different than if you're trying to build search engine optimizations that's going to have a big impact 3, 6, 12, 2 years down the road. Those are very different kinds of content, very different priorities, and maybe goals that you're trying to achieve, and that can shape the content strategy there as well too. What platform drives the most success? So this was connected with as we go back and we start to see the patterns of, first of all, where did our customers come from? How did we actually connect with them? How did we meet them? And then how did they actually become customers? We can start to see what platforms are most valuable for us. So for just myself as an example, personally, Tyler Bryden, LinkedIn is a really powerful driver for success. I have lots of connections on there. I let you share content in multimedia formats. And then if someone does engage with the content, I have the LinkedIn Sales Navigator so I can see the profile. I can learn lots about them. I could even reach out directly. So it becomes this very valuable channel for me to post content on. So when I'm thinking about content and how I'm prioritizing it, a big part of that is always, how can I make sure that this is successful on LinkedIn? And then for Speak AI, a little different. We actually do get some success from LinkedIn, but a lot of the stuff that we're seeing, especially recently, has actually become from Google search engines. So long form written content that educates, inspires, and then drives motivation becomes very valuable for us. So then that shapes everything around our content strategy, and then how we're prioritizing, you know, what channels, and then what we're writing about, how we're writing about it, and then how we're even sharing it out as well too. One thing that I think we don't think about enough, I know that, you know, this was a lack for me, is like this idea of just like marketing difficulty. And in this case, I specifically used sort of search engine marketing as the example here, because it becomes very clear, which is the idea that some keywords, some terms are already very, concentrated in the efforts from other organizations and businesses. They're saturated. So we can see here, there's some arrows and it says, you know, the keyword is running shoes. And this is using Google Keyword Planner. We can now see that there's 100,000 to 1 million average monthly searches. And the competition is high, and then the suggested bid, you can actually see the price point there. Now, $1.65 is still relatively low, but these are a couple factors that you want to take into consideration when you're actually building out that content strategy and then trying to prioritize what you should be creating. So first of all, you need to have enough monthly searches that it's valuable for you to actually create. And there's a little bit of a contradictory element here, or something to think about, is that some of these shorter terms are usually, they've been taken over already because they're valuable. And one thing is that it's a good signal that it's already been taken over, because it means it's valuable and it's likely to convert. But the other part here is that there's longer variations of these search terms that maybe not as many people are searching for, but when they are, they're very specific, and then they may be even more valuable to the organization. So if it's running shoes, for example, what about like running shoes for men with sore knees? I have a sore knee right now, that's why I came out. But, you know, it starts to get much more specific. But now if you can create content around that, there might not be as many people searching for it, but the competition might not be as high, and you might be able to rank for that quicker. So then all of a sudden you see an opportunity for the content that you should be creating that is actually going to be valuable. Even though it might not have as many searches, it's very tailored. And the part that I guess I didn't add in this that I will come back to at some point is, what is the commercial intent of the actual search? So if we add to, of course, the average monthly searches, the competition, and how much that search term would cost, what is the commercial intent? So there's people who are looking just on a very, you know, just exploring and doing initial research. And then there's people who are actually looking to purchase or get a quote or something. So that get a quote is an example of a term or a phrase that then adds and increases the commercial intent. So for running shoes, it's I want to buy running shoes, best running shoes to buy, best running shoes to purchase this month. Purchase this month becomes the commercial intent that then you can wrap your content around to make it higher priority, more valuable, and, you know, more specifically, probably going to drive commercial success in the short term compared to the long term. And the challenge with that is there's generally less searches, and those searches become a little bit more high competition. But if you can find this sort of gap in this Venn diagram of everything here, you have this beautiful way that you can sort of figure out what content is a great opportunity to actually create and then move forward with that. Whew, on a blistering pace here. I got a meeting coming up in my 14 minutes already. I'm almost through this post, and hopefully there's a couple things in here that actually stand out. And again, I'll share this post out so you can actually go take another look at it. But what I wanted to share was just a couple frameworks. People love frameworks. I shared the post, Gather Content, as an awesome resource on both the Rice Method, which we've used in a way for product development, but it's just called ICE. Reach was, the R for reach was not actually taken into consideration, but I do like this, so check that out. And then the other one that was fascinating here was the five whys, and this was used famously by Toyota and for Six Sigma business process improvement methodology. But the question or the idea is asking why five times over, and it really helps you get to the root level of like why you're creating this content, why you're prioritizing, why is it urgent now, and if you're going to dedicate time and resources and energy and money to it, you better, you know, fully understand and comprehend why you're actually doing that. So I did a little example of why I even create this post. I talked about, you know, in the new year, there's a lot of people building content strategies. So by sharing this out now, it shows that we're thinking about this. It's helping us build our own content strategy. And then it's showing that, yeah, we can help other people if they're actually looking to build their content out for 2021. Why? I mean, at a root, you know, another level down, we built Speak, has the ability to take audio and video to turn it into valuable content that then can be used for rankings and growth, and then also to repurpose. We go another layer down, it's because content creation, as I talked about at the start, is a crucial part of individual and organization success, both for our customers that are current, prospective customers, and then for us as well too. So this is an important piece of why we're actually building this content. This is the part that I hit on with the software depreciate part, is because original content creation, it appreciates in value, becomes a great asset for you and your organization, and it drives the things that you're looking for, especially if done right. We take all these pieces into consideration. So it will drive awareness, it will drive traffic, leads, sales, if you're a nonprofit, and donations, event attendance. Like, there's so many ways that content can be a way, and HubSpot was a leader in this, of when you create good content and increases the lifetime value of your customer, and it actually decreases the customer acquisition cost, because you've helped educate, inspire, inform, and built a relationship with someone before they've actually become a customer and make the commitment to exchange monetary value. And then lastly, and I think you could go deeper on this, is like, you know, people love and crave information, and if you prioritize and create content well, you should have these assets that can help directly for the bottom line of your organization, or your work as an individual entrepreneur, or whatever it is in business that you actually have. So that's a little just example quickly of what those five whys were, and hopefully that made sense. And as I went through that, as you start to build out your own strategy, you can use these five whys to sort of identify, is this content worth producing? If I'm gonna have to create this and share this out, is this the right piece to actually do right now? And then I've just got two last sort of points on here, and I think this could be added out. I've got some presentations in the past that I'm going to share different pieces and everything around this, but just two last things that I'm thinking about are the ability to repurpose content. So making, you know, creating content is an investment. I've spent 17 minutes recording this. I spent, you know, maybe 40 minutes preparing all this, thinking about it, and so that time could be spent somewhere else. So now you've made an investment in that content. And the question is, can you reuse that content in different formats, different ways down the line, to continue to compound, continue to be more valuable, so that the effort and the energy and time and everything that went into it is not, I guess, lost. And that's why, you know, we talk about it a couple times, you know, through the years, and then in this article even, is this idea of transcription marketing. What I love about doing this blog post format and then also recording the video is I can transcribe this now, add the transcript. That becomes a beautiful asset for me to then embed on this page. I can then record, you know, or I can then take the recording, cut it into multiple pieces, share that across social media, and even take some quotes from the actual transcript and use those as different pieces of content as well too. So if you start to think in, how can I create content that can be repurposed into different assets across different platforms that are all valuable, that can give you the ability to prioritize what content to create as well. And then lastly, I do think this is, you know, important, is like, do you feel inspired to create it? If you don't feel inspired, not all of us have this luxury, but if you don't feel inspired or passionate about the content you're creating, it becomes very difficult to do it. It feels like you're, you know, walking through, I don't know if the sand, molasses, whatever, you know, something slow, you're just grinding, you know, and it doesn't feel good. But if you can tap into something that is actually something that's interesting to you, that you're passionate about, and then also fulfill some of the practical elements that we talked about in this 20 minutes together, then all of a sudden you have this sort of formula for success. And a big part of success with this content strategy, with creating, with prioritizing, is that you do have this passion so you can sustain it. If I'm looking every single day at 4:30 that I want to publish a piece of content, I really do need to be passionate about it. Otherwise, especially in those early phases, as you don't get a ton of feedback and you don't see a ton of growth possibly, that you still feel compelled to continue. You don't quit because you don't see all the metrics and all the measurements working right away. So, you know, might be the last thing on here to consider, but it is a very crucial element of, you know, creating a good content strategy and then prioritizing what content to create. I've got a couple of resources here at the end. As always, you can connect with me. You've got, you know, a couple links. You've got more than a couple links. And I'll share this article out in a post. One of the tools that I had said that I didn't talk too much about here, but is linked, is Ubersuggest, which is a great one. And then also the Gather Content article about ways to collaboratively prioritize content. So back to main camera. It's 2021. We've got I think, you know, everyone after 2020 has, you know, these inspirations and hopes and dreams that they want to actually, make come to life. And, as we enter a world that is constantly, you know, mountains of content are created every single second, it becomes, you know, very, you know, a big responsibility to make sure that you actually are prioritizing how you're spending that time, what content you're creating. You don't want that, you know, hard work that you're doing to just be lost in the abyss and the sea of information that is being generated every single day. And this is something I'm, you know, really passionate about. One of, you know, my theories and one of the things that I think about is that the technical sort of mess that the internet has created for us to just be able to share and communicate effectively can actually have some harm. So people, when they want to communicate, they want to speak and they want to be heard. And yet now we have to fight through this technical architecture, you know, so SEO optimization and image requirements and all this stuff just to communicate what we're actually trying to do. And so what I'm hoping that this can help, and I'll be continuing to share about this, is, you know, giving you some ways to create content that you truly enjoy creating that is also tailored for your, you know, ideal customers and the people that you want to work with and actually helps you grow and find success. So this was just a short, somewhat short little rundown of that and how to prioritize what content to create. I hope you enjoyed this. If you do want to, you know, talk about this anymore, please feel encouraged to connect. And I hope you're having an amazing start to 2021. Thank you.